The next thing he knew, he was curled in a warm ball under his bedclothes, and George's loud voice was filling the room. "Mum says, get up, your breakfast is in the kitchen, and then she needs you in the drawing room. There are loads more doxies than she thought, and she's found a nest of dead puff skeins under the sofa." Half an hour later, Harry and Ron, who had dressed and breakfast quickly, entered the drawing room, a long, high-ceilinged room on the first floor with olive-green walls covered in dirty tapestries. The carpet exhaled little clouds of dust every time someone put their foot on it, and the long, moss-green velvet curtains were buzzing as though swarming with invisible bees. It was around these that Mrs. Weasley, Hermione, Ginny, Fred and George were grouped, all looking rather peculiar, as they had tied cloths over their noses and mouths. Each of them was also holding a large bottle of black liquid with a nozzle at the end. "Cover your faces and take a spray," Mrs. Weasley said to Harry and Ron the moment she saw them, pointing to two more bottles of black liquid standing on a spindle-leg table. "It's Doxycide. I've never seen an infestation this bad. What that house elf's been doing for the last 10 years? Hermione's face was half concealed by a tea towel, but Harry distinctly saw her throw a reproachful look at Mrs. Weasley at these words. "Creature's really old. He probably couldn't manage."
"You'd be surprised what creature can manage when he wants to, Hermione," said Sirius, who had just entered the room carrying a blood-stained bag of what appeared to be dead rats. "I've just been feeding Buckbeak," he added in reply to Harry's inquiring look. "I keep him upstairs in my mother's bedroom. Anyway, this writing desk."
He dropped the bag of rats onto an armchair, then bent over to examine the locked cabinet, which Harry now noticed for the first time was shaking slightly.
"Well, Molly, I'm pretty sure this is a boggart," said Sirius, peering through the keyhole. "But perhaps we ought to let Mad-Eye have a shifty at it before we let it out. Knowing my mother, it could be something much worse."
"Right you are, Sirius," said Mrs. Weasley.
They were both speaking in carefully light, polite voices that told Harry quite plainly that neither had forgotten their disagreement of the night before. A loud, clanging bell sounded from downstairs, followed at once by the cacophony of screams and wails that had been triggered the previous night by Tonks knocking over the umbrella stand.
"I keep telling them not to ring the doorbell," said Sirius exasperatedly, hurrying back out of the room.
They heard him thundering down the stairs as Mrs. Black's screeches echoed up through the house once more.
"Stains of dishonour! Filthy half-breeds! Blood traitors! Children of filth!"
"Close the door, please, Harry," said Mrs. Weasley.
Harry took as much time as he dared to close the drawing-room door. He wanted to listen to what was going on downstairs. Sirius had obviously managed to shut the curtains over his mother's portrait because she had stopped screaming. He heard Sirius walking down the hall, then the clattering of the chain on the front door, and then a deep voice he recognised as Kingsley Shacklebolt's saying,
"Hestia's just relieved me, so she's got Moody's cloak now. Thought I'd leave a report for Dumbledore."
Feeling Mrs. Weasley's eyes on the back of his head, Harry regretfully closed the drawing-room door and rejoined the Doxy party.